As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's no secret, or at least I hope it isn't, that the government sometimes hides things from the general public. Whether it's a scandal or a dangerous secret that might jeopardize humanity, there's no end to the events we simply don't get told about in real time. And a shining example of this is Project Blue Book. Welcome back, friend, to Hometown History. In today's episode, we see how an entity created for the good of humanity became something ugly and messy in the process of uncovering secrets lingering in the night sky. Project Blue Book was a classified initiative by the United States Air Force. It took flight in March 1952 and pretty much flew under the radar until its conclusion on December 17, 1969. Hidden in the shadows of secrecy at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, this project aimed to explore the mysteries of unidentified flying objects, better known as UFOs. Most of the time, when investigated, UFOs turn out to be ordinary things, like airplane lights, or natural occurrences in the atmosphere. But a small number of sightings remain unexplained. Throughout history, many people have reported unusual things in the sky, but UFOs gained more attention after World War II. Governments and organizations like Project Condyne in the United Kingdom have conducted various studies and investigations into UFO reports, all to understand and explain the sightings, but none of them confirmed the extraordinary claims made by some believers. Project Blue Book was initially led by Captain Edward J. Ruppelt and followed the footsteps of earlier projects like Project Sign in 1947 and Project Grudge in 1949. These missions basically had two primary objectives. First, to assess if UFOs posed any threat to national security. And second, to scientifically scrutinize the data related to UFO sightings. Over time, thousands of reports flooded in, documenting strange sightings from across the country. The Air Force meticulously collected, analyzed, and filed these reports, seeking patterns and explanations in the sky. During this time, the project came under the leadership of many notable names. Let's start with the first one, Captain Edward Ruppelt. So in 1951, there was general dissatisfaction with the state of Air Force UFO investigations among the authorities. So Project Grudge was dismantled in secrecy, making way for a new era, Project Blue Book. Captain Ruppelt took a position as the leader, bringing with him a decorated military background from World War II. Ruppelt introduced changes, starting with a new name inspired by college testing booklets, Project Blue Book. The project's upgraded status included the creation of the Aerial Phenomenon Branch. Ruppelt, being a seasoned airman, is actually responsible for the term unidentified flying object, to replace previous military terms because he wanted a more neutral description. He then implemented a series of reforms and streamlined UFO reporting procedures to ease the stigma faced by witnesses. He also commissioned the Battelle Memorial Institute to develop a standardized questionnaire and computerize UFO data. With this data came Battelle's scientific and statistical study, known as Project Blue Book Special Report No. 14. Captain Ruppelt took help from the Battelle Memorial Institute, a think tank in Ohio, to bring more scientific rigor to Air Force UFO studies. The Institute crafted a standardized reporting form, and from March 1952, they analyzed around 3,200 sighting reports, encoding details onto IBM punch cards for computer analysis. This groundbreaking report, completed in 1954, was a mammoth analysis, the largest of its kind at the time. Battelle's four scientific analysts categorized cases of knowns, unknowns, or with insufficient information. They further divided these into quality categories, considering factors like witness experience and supporting evidence. The key findings were pretty intriguing. Buckle in for some numbers. About 69% of cases were known or identified, with 38% conclusively identified and 31% still doubtfully explained. Approximately 22% were deemed unknown, a drop from the earlier 28% in Air Force studies. In the known category, 86% were mundane objects, like aircraft and balloons, or had astronomical explanations. Only 1.5% were considered, quote, crackpot cases. The higher the case quality, the more likely it was classified as unknown, with 35% of excellent cases falling into this category. The overall results were interesting and did shape a large amount of data, but the summary of the report was quite controversial. It suggested that UFO observations likely didn't involve any fancy advanced technology beyond our knowledge. Some critics pointed out the analysts' conclusions contradicted their own statistical results, possibly influenced by the shifting political climate within Blue Book. So when the Air Force made the report public in 1955, they claimed it scientifically disproved the existence of UFOs, asserting that only 3% of cases were unknown. But critics argued that the actual figure was 22%, and the remaining 3% was incorrectly categorized. No matter the controversy that came with it, the report's impact echoed in a 1979 French report, acknowledging that about a quarter of closely studied UFO cases defied explanation. Even when GPAN's successor, SERPA, closed in 2004, the unknowns had reduced to about 14%. Some found these unexplained cases so compelling that they pointed towards extraterrestrial origins. But Ruppelt was mindful of past factionalism, and to keep the team focused, he fired personnel who leaned too heavily towards one hypothesis or another. After all, objectivity is key when you're a part of a project like this. Ruppelt's leadership granted Blue Book officers at each U.S. Air Force base unprecedented authority to to collect and forward UFO reports. During his tenure, the team was empowered to interview military personnel witnessing UFOs without following the usual chain of command. Some might call it an abuse of power. Others might say he was doing whatever was necessary to find an answer. Either way, under his direction, Blue Book investigated some pretty popular cases, including the Lubbock Lights and the 1952 radar visual incident over Washington, D.C. But the project following Ruppelt's approach downplayed the reports of UFO landings and interactions with alleged UFO occupants. Then came astronaut J. Allen Hynek, a scientific consultant who joined the project, evolving from a hardcore skeptic to a wavering one as he encountered unexplainable UFO reports. His work laid the foundation for the categorization of close encounters. But the Captain Ruppelt era definitely shaped Project Blue Book's course, leaving an indelible mark on the study of unidentified flying objects. And there was another crucial moment during Captain Ruppelt's time, the Robertson Panel. In 1953, the U.S. government assembled a group of experts known as the Robertson Panel to examine the UFO phenomenon. This panel, made up of scientists and military personnel, was tasked with evaluating the UFO situation following a surge in sightings. Their goal was to assess whether UFOs posed any threat to national security, just in case all the sightings were indeed true. This panel, as the name suggests, was led by physicist H.P. Robertson, and it reviewed classified reports, documents, and witness testimonies. And with this came the conclusion that UFO sightings were, in most cases, misidentifications of natural phenomena or man-made objects. So almost all of the reports of the sightings were misidentified, so there was no element of threat to national security. Now, how did this finding impact Project Blue Book? There was way too much interest in UFOs at this time, not helped by the fact that every other day there was a new report of a sighting. This panel suggested running a PR campaign to reduce the public's interest in UFOs. And part of this campaign would be the Air Force debunking all the reports to downplay the significance and reduce public concern. With this, Project Blue Book underwent a shift in approach. The emphasis shifted towards explaining away UFO reports and denying any possibility of extraterrestrial origins. This approach, influenced by the panel's recommendations, became a defining feature of how UFO investigations were handled from now on. Basically, Ruppelt began by wanting to make UFO reporting easier and less stigmatized, and Project Blue Book wanted to get rid of all of that and deny anyone coming forward with a sighting. In March 1954, Captain Charles Hardin took the reins, but the 4,602nd Air Intelligence Service Squadron was the main force behind most UFO investigations. And since Hardin was not really interested in UFOs, he let the squadron take the lead. In 1955, the Air Force forcefully shifted Blue Book's focus from investigating UFO reports to minimizing the number of unidentified UFO reports. The shift actually proved effective, reducing unidentified sightings to less than 1% by late 1956. Later, Captain George T. Gregory assumed command in 1956, steering Blue Book further away from UFO investigations. The 4,602nd Squadron was dissolved at this point, and the 1,066th Air Intelligence Service Squadron took charge. The directive was revised under Gregory, as he emphasized reducing unexplained UFO reports to a minimum. So the focus was now less on collecting and more on decoding existing reports, or at least reducing the stack of papers to the explainable pile. And to achieve that objective, Gregory employed a simple method: reclassification. So cases labeled as possible became probable, and probable cases were upgraded to certainties, and witness accounts of unusual objects were labeled without thorough research. So this reclassification approach made it appear as though more UFO sightings had real explanations, thus reducing the percentage of cases categorized as unexplained or unidentified. Pretty smart, if you ask me.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
American Criminal is a new true crime podcast from the studio behind American Scandal and American History Tellers. Every week, you'll fall deeper into the riveting stories of the country's most clever, craven, and cruel criminals. Fraud, theft, murder, and worse. Whatever the case, whoever the criminal, you don't know the whole story until now. The debut season tackles one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and the press said it was a multi-million dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder. But the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill? Or was it even in self-defense? Listen now. Go to AmericanCriminal.com or search for and follow American Criminal wherever you get your podcasts.
Later, in 1958, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Friend took command. And surprisingly enough, he was attempting to reverse the trend set since 1954, wherein people were discouraged from reporting UFO sightings. Unfortunately, a severe lack of funding and support didn't make this possible. Then, in 1960, U.S. congressional hearings on UFOs brought new attention to Project Blue Book. Critics accused Blue Book of covering up evidence, leading to investigations by Congress and the CIA. Friend's efforts faced obstacles, and despite temporary improvements, the skepticism persisted. So with this, Major Hector Quintanilla assumed leadership in August 1963, continuing Blue Book's efforts to debunk sightings. Under his direction, Blue Book faced heavy criticism, with Jerome Clark stating it had lost all credibility. But it wasn't all baseless. Quintanilla usually debunked UFO sightings by attributing Jupiter or other stars, and the public didn't appreciate that very much. Then, the Portage County UFO chase in 1966, where police officers actually chased a UFO, saw Blue Book's conclusions widely ridiculed. And with this came the concerns about the scientific rigor and transparency of Project Blue Book's investigations. At this point, there were doubts in the public's mind. Doubts about the thoroughness, objectivity, and openness of Blue Book's approach to studying UFO phenomena. Even physicist and UFO researcher James E. McDonald criticized Quintanilla's competency, but he also acknowledged the fact that he was following orders. Quintanilla's own perspective, documented in his manuscript, highlighted his belief in the possibility of extraterrestrial life, but emphasized the lack of hard evidence for actual alien visits. Later, as the 1960s unfolded, so did the scrutiny of Project Blue Book. In 1966, a series of UFO sightings triggered a congressional hearing by the House Committee on Armed Services. The Air Force initially attributed the sightings to a training exercise, but conflicting reports arose. NICAP, which was the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomenon, disputed the Air Force explanations. Things got pretty bad when the locals claimed Air Force officers confiscated newspapers. So Secretary Harold Brown clarified Blue Book's process: investigation, analysis, and information distribution. That's it. And by the hearing, 95% of reported sightings were identified and explained. None were deemed extraterrestrial or a threat to national security. Blue Book's science consultant, J. Allen Hynek, proposed forming a civil panel for a comprehensive assessment of the UFO situation, which surprisingly faced quite a bit of criticism, leading to the creation of the Condon Committee in 1966 for scientific research. Then, the committee itself faced controversy, with accusations of bias against Director Edward Ute Condon. At this point, the project was more trouble than it was worth. The Air Force couldn't justify funding this mess anymore. So Secretary of the Air Force Robert C. Siemens Jr. declared the closure of Blue Book in 1969. The mission, by all means, was not a productive use of the funding. So with that, the last publicly acknowledged day of Blue Book operations was December 17, 1969. Some people do claim the actual closure happened on January 30, 1970, and Air Force officials, hoping to avoid overlapping into a fourth decade, adjusted the closure date. Regardless, December 17, 1969 remains the last official date, marking the end of this mission. Project Blue Book concluded that UFO sightings often resulted from mild mass hysteria, hoaxes, psychopathological issues, or misidentifications of conventional objects. Everything except actual UFOs. Major David Shea mentioned that, after its end, Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama was chosen to house Blue Book's files because it was accessible, yet not too inviting. Being objective was one of the requirements of the job, but of course, it's impossible for a person or entity to be completely unbiased. So given that, what was the United States Air Force's stance on UFOs? This is straight from their official statement, as outlined in USAF Fact Sheet 95-03. The statement acknowledged that from 1947 to 1969, the Air Force diligently examined unidentified flying objects through Project Blue Book, based at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. The project concluded on December 17, 1969, having reviewed a whopping 12,618 reported sightings, with only 700 left as unidentified, meaning Captain George T. Gregory's aim to reduce the pile of unexplained reports worked well. Unlike the mysterious and unexplainable nature of the mission, Project Blue Book's findings were clear enough. No UFO posed a threat to national security. No evidence suggested unidentified sightings involved advanced technology. No indication supported the notion that these sightings were extraterrestrial vehicles. With the project's termination, the Air Force regulation governing UFO investigations was rescinded. The documentation was permanently transferred to the National Archives and Records Service, available for public scrutiny. That's right, the documents are available for you to access if you want to look at more details of UFO sightings, investigations, and the conclusions drawn by Project Blue Book. Let me know if you'd like a deep dive into one of those reports in a future episode. Beyond Blue Book, a memorandum from October 20, 1969, signed by Brigadier General Carol H. Bolander, assured that reports of UFOs affecting national security would still be handled, although not within the Blue Book system. There was no other specific information available on that, either by accident or by design. But Project Blue Book hasn't exactly faded into obscurity. In the late 1970s, Jack Webb produced and narrated Project UFO, a TV series that brought Project Blue Book into the present day. The show followed Air Force investigators, dealing with a range of UFO incidents. And interestingly, a former Project Blue Book officer served as technical advisor. Each episode concluded with a statement from the United States Air Force, emphasizing that, after 22 years of investigations, none of the UFOs posed a threat to national security. Other than that, Project Blue Book also played a role in the second season of the iconic 1990-1991 TV series Twin Peaks. Major Garland Briggs, an Air Force officer involved in the program, revealed intriguing connections between protagonist Dale Cooper and a bizarre radio transmission originating from the woods around Twin Peaks. The storyline explored the transdimensional world of the Black Lodge, incorporating a supernatural twist around the real world Project Blue Book. Then came the sci-fi series Galactica, 1980, with every episode ending by referencing the U.S. Air Force's 1969 Project Blue Book findings, asserting that UFOs are not proven to exist and are not a threat to national security. Fast forward to 2019, and Project Blue Book became the inspiration for a drama series airing on the History Channel, aptly titled Project Blue Book. This modern version explored the investigations, mysteries, and controversies surrounding UFOs, bringing the legacy of Project Blue Book to a whole new generation. So it seems the intrigue of Project Blue Book continues to captivate audiences. But in its historical context, and as a source of creative inspiration in the world of entertainment, there really is so much to dive into, and with over 12,000 cases, that makes for several seasons of a show packed with intrigue and weird anomalies. But entertainment aside, would the government stop exploring the idea of UFOs and aliens? Probably not. UFO mysteries, it seems, continue to captivate the minds of officials. In April 2003, the U.S. Air Force stated that there were no immediate plans for official government UFO study programs. Yet in December 2017, it was revealed that a secret UFO study called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program had been funded from 2007 to 2012. Now the Department of Defense did officially state that AATIP ended in 2012. But there were identifications that other government programs investigating UFOs persisted. And what do you know? In June 2020, the existence of a similar military program, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force, was publicly acknowledged. This means that secret missions have continued to operate throughout the years. But that's no surprise, is it? So as we close this chapter on the shadow of Project Blue Book, let's remember the lessons it offers. The importance of inquiry, the pursuit of knowledge, and the enduring human spirit that looks to the skies with wonder and curiosity despite repeated efforts to curb that curiosity. Whether it was the meticulous statistical analysis of Special Report Number 14, the controversies and criticisms that followed, or the change in leadership, Project Blue Book stands as a reminder of these lessons. Thank you for listening to Hometown History, and be sure to follow along for more stories from the past. Until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, and never stop wondering about the mysteries that surround us.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.